Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Smashbot.
The world had been through a trial by fire. And only the greatest warriors and their deadliest enemies emerged from the flames.
Who are you?
Nobody.
I'm still. I can feel it. The dice are rolling.
He was the one they called mad.
But he's just a raggedy man.
But to those whose lives hung in the balance.
Where's the whiting ones?
Whiting for what?
Whiting for you.
He was the one they called hero.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Dying time's here.
Now, Mad Max is back in Beyond Thunderdome. Gibson, Tina Turner, Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome.
Hello and welcome to Smersh Pod 3, the podcast that relights the fire of 80s action movies and celebrates the decade where the explosion was king. It was, wasn't it? Everyone's nodding. This week we'll be heading to Bartertown to do some rough trading with a lady who's not for Tina Turnering.
Nice.
It's good, isn't it? There'll be pigs, wigs and bellyaches until we find out who actually runs the place. Yes, it's Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And joining me to enter the Thunderdome is a master and blaster of my very own, comedy writer Sarah Morgan.
Hello.
And comedian William Andrews.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
It's an absolute pleasure.
So
Will's done homework.
He's Will's
got like
done notes.
5 pages of printout.
Yeah, I mean, I have done a lot of work
Holy
at it.
Yeah.
You've spent a lot of time in the Thunderdome.
Well, I have to say, I've not seen any Mad Max films.
Yeah.
What?
No. I mean, I'm sort of aware of the, you know, and I saw the modern one. I think I saw the modern one maybe on a plane. Is that kind of level on a slightly scratched little LCD screen? So this is either going to be a really poor illumination of the film or an incredibly insightful one, unguarded as I am by previous preconceptions. So let's go for the latter.
Let's go for the latter. You're still making notes as we speak here.
It's still not a good film, though. So that's the nice, that's the good thing about it. It's not like we're, like, holding something in crystal in our hands, where Die Hard.
Are you very clear on it's not a very good film?
It's not a very good
Can
film.
I jump right to the very end then and say, because it said for Byron. And part of me did think, oh, poor Byron.
Well,
like, if Byron died, and that was his...
This seems to be a running theme when I'm on Smersh Pod. We do a film that's terrible. So I've done this show a couple of times. Oh. And one time I was allowed to do Muppets Christmas Carol,
yeah,
which I think was John letting me do that because before we made me Fire, Ice and Dynamite,
right,
the terrible Roger Moore film. That
which you wanted
one
to
saw,
do as well.
Which
so
I
fair.
Actually did want to do, yeah, to okay, be fair, but, yeah, but I regretted immediately. When we got to hour two of conversation about a shit ski-based... But it was marred in tragedy, wasn't it? Willy,
yeah,
Bogner's terrible tragedy. And this one is also
Yeah. We don't know.
Sadness.
Yeah, we do know.
Oh, do we? What do we know?
Byron Kennedy was the George Miller's partner who who died in a helicopter crash scouting locations for the film.
Holy crap!
Which is why it's quite, when it's sort of really bad and you think, oh, this is like his sort of tribute to his dead friend.
Oh.
And it's sort of like Oscar Wilde or Stephen Fry at the end of the Wilde film coming out and going like, I call it De Profundis. It means the very depths. And it's like, it's a shit film with Tina Turner.
Can I shock you both?
Yes.
I really like this film.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that I warmed to it.
Ah.
It's not as good as 2 or 1.
Right.
But I still really like it.
Is it because we sort of decided between us we were going to do this one because it's got a woman in it?
You wanted a
that's
woman.
That's my brand.
You said, have we got anything with a woman in it?
Yeah.
I said, and well, Tina Turner.
It was Slim Pickens, wasn't it?
And no, it was Tina Turner. Alien. Slim Pickens is in it.
Yeah, sure.
I once saw a van with Tina Turner, Tuna Tamer written on it.
So whoa.
I think what was the?
I think it was a fishing joke.
Right.
Tina Turner, Tuna Tamer.
Because there could have been like a piano tuner as well.
Oh, yeah. No.
No.
Possibly.
Anyway, Byron
really
died
sad.
For this film. Oh, so yeah. A man died in a helicopter. For
and
this
you
film.
Laughed at it.
Like in so
I did laugh.
I hope you weren't at the funeral doing that kind of behaviour.
I don't know.
Do you think it was about the burger chain?
I thought you might have meant the poet.
Oh, that would be like, hilarious.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
This one's for Shakespeare. Because it's as good.
I think this is as good as Shakespeare, actually.
Well, it's very theatrical. And there's a lot of drama school-ery in it. Like the sparse dialogue, me am from place, me am simple some way.
Also, Henry V would have been greatly improved with a sax tune.
Yeah.
It's very saxy.
You get all the way through.
Well, there's a blind saxophonist in the sky tent.
Yeah.
There is. And in a way, that's a metaphor for all saxophonists. Because they should be heard but not seen.
What's wrong with being sexy?
Well, the 80s. The thing about the sax player is much like dinosaurs, but the 80s came to an end, so did the sax players.
Mm. Yeah.
They became unemployed.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Stick to clarinet, lads. we could talk about the Muppets. I mean, it's not influenced by that aesthetic either. It had a real... I mean, the look of it is quite remarkable. I had a bit Life of Brian, a bit Terry Gilliam.
It's got that post-apocalyptic sort of orangey rust tone, which I like in a post-apocalyptic film. There's a lot of desert.
Yes, there's also a lot of, like, undergraduate fashion student.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's riven through it, like...
A lot of gaffer tape, a lot of unnecessary headpieces.
Yeah.
But that's there in Mad Max 2 as well.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's also there in, I don't know, Delicatessen, or it's there in... It's in The Lost Boys. There's got to be hundreds of them.
Oh, Weird Science has... Is it from Mad Max?
The baddie from Mad Max 2 is the guy who turns up in Weird Science.
Yeah, which is a reference I am more afraid with.
He's also the baddie in Commando. And Inner Space.
Is he working now? Is he with us?
Not really, no. He's still with us.
Oh, thank God.
I don't mean he lives with us.
Sure.
He doesn't live with me.
He's with us in spirit.
He's still alive. He goes to conventions and things.
Oh, I bet he cleans up.
Of course he does. He's the bad in Mad Max 2.
Yeah.
It's everyone's favourite Mad
extent,
Max.
And to a lesser extent, 3.
Do you think Gibson goes to these things now? Gibson himself also being in a metaphorical... Does it?
That's so weird. Is he, though? I think he's fine, isn't he, now?
Is he back now?
Didn't it turn out he's done
right
his
now.
Time?
Oh, really?
He'd paid his dues to society.
He gets to do films now where he has a moustache or a beard.
Yes.
Because he's now been through a journey.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got the black pearl and neck of shame, metaphorically.
That's right.
Now he's,
he's absolutely stunning in this, though, isn't he?
I mean, look, I mean, I, you know, I'm... looking at him makes you feel pregnant. Like, he's so... He's incredibly handsome.
Mm.
Do you remember the bit where he gets his hair cut in his sleep?
Oh, yeah.
That was an amazing bit.
Yeah, by kids, unfortunately.
I know,
it takes the edge off the Samson and Delilah-ishness.
It's a good haircut.
It's a good haircut.
I mean, you would wake up going...
If you're in a child-based cargo cult, you've got a lot of time to practice hairdressing.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, you would feel violated if someone cut your hair in your sleep.
Also, we should give a round of applause to Max Mad.
Yes.
Comma, for as he's
not,
listed in the phone book.
Because we're in the... That's how he's in the phone book. Because he's in the mid-80s. We're at the height of... bad things happening.
Yes.
At no point does he think of having any sort of unpleasantness with the children.
This was the 80s. This was post the 70s.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone gave it a rest.
It's still going
80s.
On, but yeah. I think we should applaud him for not even thinking about it.
Is that where we are in life now?
I think that's where we are.
He needs to applaud men for not fucking kids.
So well done, Max. He's mad, but he's not that mad.
No. What is his madness?
He's mad because his wife and child were murdered.
Oh, she's angry.
In the first film. Okay. It's meaning in the American sense of being mad.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't mean that he's mentally ill, no. Which he probably is.
Bipolar Max. Yeah.
No. Very stoic.
Doesn't sound as, he's very stoic.
Stoic rather than cross,
this is the
he?
Funny thing is this film he has proper lines, and in the second one I don't think he says more than a few things.
I mean, the dialogue is quite sparse, but it's kind of on purpose sparse.
The dialogue in this has been written by Bruce Forsyth, I think. So everyone's got a catchphrase. Well, two men enter, one man leave. And what does he say later on?
One day cock of the walk, the next a feather duster.
Which Piers Brosnan. What's his name? Piers Morgan has got as his Twitter bio, hasn't he?
Does he?
Yeah.
One day cock of the walk, the next year a feather duster.
Yes.
What a cunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but there's like a master of ceremonies in the Thunderdome.
Mm. Oh, he's very Richard O'Brien, isn't he? He's
he
Crystal
is.
Maze, isn't
it's
he?
It's very Crystal Maze-y, the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
I got a feeling full disclosure, I thought I'd seen this and I hadn't.
Right.
Because it was a lot less tits and blood and fighting and stuff I like from 80s films than I was expecting. There's very little of any of that. There's one good-ish fight.
But also, anyone who dies doesn't die.
Yeah.
So the,
yeah.
that weird 80s
There's
thing
no
of like...
bloodshed, yeah.
Someone gets like literally falls out of thing and then he just climbs up going...
So I don't know what I was...
And gets back into it.
I don't know what I was expecting from the Thunderdome, but it's a bit like something you'd get on a Groupon Stag Weekend.
If you were to watch...
It's a lot of bungee cords.
If you were to watch the trilogy in one sitting,
right.
You would definitely come out of this one and say, that's not very good, because the first two are very action-packed.
Yeah.
This one's more thoughtful. And
what is the thought, though?
The
what
thought,
is the message?
The
is
message,
it the children are our future and stuff?
The it's a Brexit message, actually.
Really?
Because the children are yearning for a tomorrow land.
It doesn't exist.
Yes. And at one point, a small man is lowered into pig shit.
That's true.
Like the working man.
Yes, yeah. very much. But it is weird. It's not, because it's not an environmental catastrophe. It's a nuclear
war. After the bomb.
Can I
bomb.
Hear that?
Yeah.
Right,
I wanted to talk about the catchphrase man.
Yeah.
Because he says, you know, two men enter, one man leave. And later on he says, bust a deal, face the wheel.
Mm.
I like that.
I like that the wheel is really too well made for something. In fact, a lot of the props are. They're clearly done by a very good props department rather
they
than...
They had more money in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's too good. It's like it's sort of carved.
Yeah, but that was the tipping point for me when I started to go, like, oh, well, this is just some sort of weird theatre thing. It's a very West End.
Yes,
wasn't it? It's
like,
again, straight up Les Miserables.
You could definitely make a jukebox musical with this, with Ben Elton and Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I reckon you definitely could.
I love a wee
because you've got the Tina Turner music in there as well.
Yeah.
We don't need another year.
Which somehow wasn't appropriate to the Mad Max world.
No.
But I love Tina Turner.
I like that song a lot on Magic. It comes up a lot on Magic FM, that song.
Right.
And I realised that when the children sing in the song, then actually it's foretelling what the film was going to be, which is a bunch of fucking kids.
I think when I saw this when this came out, I was 8 and I'd seen Mad Max 2, so I saw this, and I remember being really disappointed with the whole kids section, and then the end section is Mad Max 2. With the chase,
yes,
with everyone
yes,
being
right.
chased by cars.
Cars going from left to right for a long time, which is what you want in a Mad Max film. Fury Road is a really good cars going from left to right for a really long time.
And they're good cars.
Yeah.
And the stuff they do is insane. It's good fun, isn't it? But the first bit, they're very much, the kids are to Mad Max what Ewoks were to
Yes.
It's that, you either like that stuff or you're a bit like,
yeah.
Is this them trying to reach a wider audience?
I think it might be.
Possibly.
You might get like a...
What certificate was it? Do we know?
I don't know.
I think this was a 15,
God.
I want to say.
Yeah.
It's edging a PG, isn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing.
Do you know what?
It's a bit the Goonies. It's much more Goonies than I was imagining.
Yeah. The thing I really liked in the kids' stuff, though, and was that the mythologizing of the plane crash. I thought that was quite good. It reminded me of...
But that's a real thing, isn't it? The cargo cult thing. Where,
oh, really?
Yeah, where rain, you know, tribes would find sort of things from the outside world, like a crashed plane in the jungle, and then they would find clues within it to build a society around. So they would get things a bit wrong, and I like that. That's very good.
It reminded me of Book of Dave, you know, that book by Will Self, where it's based on a divorced taxi driver writing down how much he hates his wife on a book and burying it in his garden.
Right.
And the whole world just gets based around this book.
Oh, nice.
It's an incredible book.
Yeah,
I recommend it.
A wonky rewrite. There's a really good post-apocalyptic play called Mr. Burns. Do you know that?
No.
It's about in the future, when everything's terrible and everyone's sitting around fires, keeping each other company for warmth, and they all remember Simpsons episodes.
Oh, really?
Which is exactly what my future's going to be like.
Yeah.
It's sort of half remembering. So it's great. So they sort of tell the story of Simpsons episodes.
I'm that with Partridge.
Yes, you yeah. you would be. There was probably a Partridge one as well. It will be Partridge doing the opening scene of what's the one he does on Bank Holiday Monday when he describes in detail the opening credits to a Bond film.
Oh, Paul's Orange Juice. Love Me.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Yes, but it's Mr. Burns, really good play. Oh. Better than this film.
I mean, if we look too closely at the plot, yeah. I think it's going to suffer, this film.
Yeah.
But episodically almost, it kind of does... It's
sort of a cut and shut of three different films.
Right,
there? There's Thunderdome, which sort of ends quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's the kids. Yeah. And then there's...
The Mad Max bit.
The Mad Max bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Driving very fast.
Yeah.
Things go
in orange.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I enjoy the way it's shot, though. Yeah. I think this is a very pretty film. The whole sequence with the kids and it's just really nice to look at.
George Miller did the action scenes, didn't he?
Yeah. And then this was co-directed because he was having such a tough time with grief.
With grief. God. For his friend Byron, who died for this film. Byron.
Is his friend or his lover?
Friend.
His friend. Friend. He was the
when I say partner, I mean like business working
partner.
Oh,
okay.
What is the message of the film? Is the message of the film, we don't need another hero and actually we should find a smarter way to live our lives?
I think the message to every Mad Max film is that Max never wins.
Right. He helps.
He helps people get somewhere, and then in the end he's left on his own.
Yeah. He's like the Incredible Hulk or the Littlest Hobo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in this one, he doesn't... Yeah. In this one, he doesn't suffer or isn't a dog.
Right. The end...
Tina Turner lets him off.
Yeah, she just lets him go. That's a bit of a... I was expecting... I like the way Tina Turner drives, because she drives like me. She pulls her chair in really far in, and her knees are sort of up on the dash. And... in the sort of, there's a yoga position called something like Bakanasana, I'm saying it wrong, but like butterfly, where your knees are very splayed and you sort of lean in. And that's how I drive for some reason. Like, I find it really reassuring. And she does that, but in heels, which is really impressive.
She's incredible, though. I mean, in her later live performances, when she comes, she walks like my grandma.
Yeah.
She comes out on her heels, her legs are kind of really far apart. But it gave her that kind of uncanny gait of like the sort of Jim Henson, like she'd been made by Creature Workshop. Like there'd be some guy with a NASA cap in the side going, I do her eyebrows.
Yeah. She's like, sort of held up by her own costume, which I like.
Yeah.
Her wigs and her outfit just sort of, like, you could be stapled in and then have a nap.
Yeah.
She is really good in this.
She is really good.
It would be easy to get a stunt casting pop star who's not very good, but I think she's great.
Yeah. Auntie. She's called Auntie.
Auntie Entity.
Yeah, Auntie Entity.
It's hard to say, but
it is.
Yeah. I mean... Well, the aesthetic, though, we have to look at. Like, I mean, I don't know. It looked to me like a lot of tantrums. It looked a lot like some designer had just gone, I am going to have a tiny person driving a mentally retarded strong man, and you can't stop me. there were things just all the way through it where you're like, oh, come on. Like it was like, it made so much money that there was no one saying no, which is maybe good.
It was very cokey, it was very 80s cokey. Lots of coke ideas, like, I've got this vision. I didn't sleep for 3 days.
Did anyone spot the Neighbours connection in this film?
No.
Do you know the sort of bad guy who constantly gets killed but doesn't die?
Yeah.
With the doll's head on him?
Yes.
That's Angry Anderson.
What?
Yeah.
Suddenly you're seeing me just the way I am?
That's right.
Oh, my God. He did Scott and Charlene's wedding.
Yeah. Which wouldn't be out of place in this dystopia.
I like that in dystopias people wear things on their heads that are unnecessary.
He's got this kind of doll's head above his head.
Yeah, which is a bit like Master Blaster, which I'm saying in a Northern accent. So
I liked it.
I think it's the world's here and I'm weak. And I'm
Master Blaster.
Master Blaster.
Yeah. What do we think about Master Blaster?
Well,
it's a good idea.
It's another word for very good at fingering. I mean, I'm sure that's not what it is. I'm sure that's not what it means.
I mean, he's a big fella.
I mean, you know...
But also a child, so I retract my statement. Sorry,
it's like Jason Voorhees.
Yeah. It was just a bit like... When I saw The Blind Saxophonist in the Sky Tent, it was like that kind of almost got it quite right. I mean, it's quite mercurial, isn't it? It's alchemy, that stuff. But those kind of symbols, sometimes they're just a bit, huh? And sometimes they really work. And a lot of them were, huh? Although the piggery thing, I have to say, the piggery was incredible.
It's good to, it's good when something's in a dystopian future and they're quite realistic about what the future's going to be like, which is that electricity will be generated by pig shit. That's actually a really good storyline. A lot of the storyline is based around...
Who controls the energy, controls the thing.
Yeah. Tank Girl is a similarly good post-apocalyptic.
They should do a remake with Greta Thunberg as... It's Mad Max.
She was all the children.
Yeah.
We don't need her. Her mum did Eurovision. She's probably got pipes. She'll probably sing.
She probably has.
pipes from Ghostwatch.
Greta has not got pipes from Ghostwatch.
Are you sure?
I meant she could sing, not that she's...
Maybe that's why she looks so disturbed.
Oh,
all the
you're
time.
Not one of the. Oh, it's another man having a go at a 16.
I'm not.
Year
I've been defending her on Twitter.
Well, that's nice.
Because I think she's right. Yeah, just for the record, I'm against the world exploding.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're against the Mad Max future.
Yeah. I don't want this. I enjoy watching it. I don't want to be in it. It'd be awful. You'd have to, like, beat up men all the time who were trying to steal your carrots.
Yeah, I mean...
just imagining that bit.
Yeah. I was just kind of thinking...
It's like Extreme The Good Life.
Yeah.
People stole some carrots and now you must go to the Thunderdome.
Go out and find three good guys dressed like American footballers having sex with your dog. While another one's eating all your turnips. It'd be awful.
I quite like this version of a dystopia because the real version of dystopia would be horrible. No one would have such good teeth. Everyone died.
Everyone had really
the kids had lovely
kids.
Teeth, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. You know that film Mutiny of the Bounty?
Yeah.
Who's in that again? The guy from The Godfather.
Oh.
What's his name?
Robert Duvall.
No.
Marlon Brando.
Yeah, he was in it. And all those islanders, they came there. They all had black teeth, so they got them all false teeth to make them have nice teeth. And then they just left. And so they're all still there with the same false teeth.
Oh, I love that.
There's all these old people with exactly the same false teeth from like the 60s or the 50s. They're probably all
good. Oh, wow.
They? Yeah.
You know, he was in the remake of that.
Who?
Mel Gibson.
There you go. That's full circle.
Call me the Weaver.
Neat. Yeah. Very neat.
Poor Mel Gibson. What's happened to him now, eh? He's fine.
He's been on a journey.
He's literally fine.
He should have just said, look, I'm sorry I was racist. I'm a sex addict.
Yes, if only... I'm sorry,
he could have covered
that,
all bases.
I'm sorry I was anti-Semitic and called that woman sugar tits. It's because I'm a sex addict.
Yeah, I'm going off on a retreat.
I'm
going
to go to a spa for a think. And yeah.
And a wank. Say that as well, because he's a sex addict.
Because I have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd
every
die.
Day.
Yeah. He's like that hunk if you're horny man from I Think You Should Leave.
I only watched three of those. We could be watching that right now, couldn't we?
God, I'm going to watch it on the train.
Oh,
that's
so good.
There was a couple of little tropes. There was one trope in it when the lady ran away. She was like, I'm going to go do this stuff. And he was like, no. Instead of like going after her and just like saying, please stay, he shot at her twice. and then he went to her and did that kind of old cowboy film thing of like literally putting her over his shoulder.
Yeah, and he knocks her out. She was a child.
Knocks her out, punches her.
I was going to say, I enjoyed the way you call her that lady when it's a child.
Yeah.
She wasn't a child.
Oh, she's a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Savannah, she's called.
And then she went anyway, which is a plot. The plot, again, doesn't bear much, does it?
Well,
what is the plot? Why did they get... So, lovely opening sequence. And that plane, by the way, I looked it up. It is just incredible. It's a survey plane. That's worth looking at on its own. So they shoot. He's on the thing being
pulled. He's got a caravan being pulled by camels.
Camels.
Yeah.
And they shoot him. Why do they do that?
Every Mad Max film starts with him being attacked.
Okay.
Apart from the first one.
Why?
Hang on. So
because the first one's pre-dystopia.
No, as in why do they shoot at him?
Because they wanted to steal his camels and caravan to sell in Barter Town.
Okay, cool.
I like the naming of Barter Town.
I think
it's very Australian naming convention. Say what it is.
Yeah. It should be called...
5 more minutes? No.
Dagville.
Yeah. Ebayton.
Flaming Galootberg.
I mean, there'll come a time when this stuff is really racist, but let's go for it now.
Yeah.
You can't be racist to Australians. You literally
can't.
You
can be white Australians. Yeah. That's fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because they're really racist.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Not all of them.
You give it out, you have to take it back.
And also they're ours, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
We bloody made them.
We made them.
If we hadn't have been naughty here, they wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a monkey that runs away with water. That's fun.
That's fine.
The monkey's good. The monkey's in it loads.
That's Mad Max's monkey.
Because
when he's in the caravan at the beginning, he's sitting next to him.
Right.
I did worry about that monkey's bumhole.
I was going to say, you do get a good shot of his bumhole.
It's not in good nick. I don't know.
I am thinking that monkey went to Barter Town and got taken to town by some horrible locals.
You think they fucked the monkey?
I reckon the monkey got fucked, yeah.
Well, there's someone called Pig Killer, isn't there?
Yeah.
So there must be monkey
fucker. Monkey fucker and Pig Killer. I don't know.
Is it one of the characters is called Pig Killer, which I think is unfair.
It might just be on-set catering that did that. Maybe it's cocaine. How much cocaine do you have to blow up a monkey's bum hole in order to become anti-Semitic? And I think that's
to get it to bring you
that's
some
the
water.
Question that's hanging over this,
that is.
Isn't it?
Mel, why were you fucking a monkey? I'm a sex addict. I told you.
I'm a sex addict. Oh, no.
If it's got a monkey's arse, I'll shag it. I do like. I really wish Monkey Fucker was in this film.
Yeah,
it'd be brilliant.
Well, it's Pig Killer is a bit like one of those names where it's, you know, that old joke about, well, you shag one sheep. Yeah. He probably only killed like one pig. He did loads of other stuff.
Did he kill a pig or did he kill a policeman?
Oh
God.
Mind you, there's no policemen, are there?
There's no. God, it's lawless. It's lawless. I'd say, if anything, it's a lawless barter town.
It is.
Although it has very strict rules about why. It's got a lot of rules for a lawless town.
It has laws. It has
so
laws.
Many laws.
I'd like to know how many times is Thunderdome used, though? I mean, if somebody jaywalks, do they go in the Thunderdome?
The Thunderdome.
If they steal a packet of peanuts, not that there are any, do they go in the Thunderdome?
The addition of the plastic was odd. The you know, the jumper things.
The bungee cords, yeah.
That was another tantrum, wasn't it?
I'm
having bungee cords. Yeah.
My son had that when he was little.
Yeah, my son.
Bouncy thing.
Yeah.
And there's a bit
if I'd have given him a hammer, that'd have been brilliant.
Yeah. He gets a chainsaw off the roof and then he doesn't throw the chainsaw in, which is what you want to see someone do with a chainsaw. Just
it goes a bit Life of Brian. You know when he goes in the Colosseum and he chases him forever? Yeah. It goes a bit like that when he gets the chainsaw. Because Blaster starts running away.
Give him a name.
Do you know what I thought about that scene? I thought that looks like a long day.
Yeah.
That lacks a long shooting
or
week.
Being one of those, I was looking at the extras' faces because the fight was not interesting enough.
Well, okay. Someone on the top.
If you were at the top of that dome looking down, you must have got cramp after a while.
Yeah.
Boring. And then Tina Turner shows up. Oh, thank God Tina Turner's here. She's going to say something.
I like it when she comes down that zip line.
That's amazing.
She
looks incredibly
terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she looks like a very still stuntman with a Tina Turner wig on.
I mean,
are the knees splayed or not?
To be fair, five minutes before that, she had to snort cocaine from a monkey's arsehole. So she's probably a bit disturbed.
I like her line when she says, "Death is listening and he'll take the first man that screams."
that's
actually good dialogue.
Oh, she has another brilliant line.
Would you like to have a pair or something like
no,
that?
No, you survived the audition. What was it? I wrote it down. What was it? You survived the audition?
She got off the Beatles at the end of Let It Be.
Congratulations, you're the first to survive the audition.
Oh, yeah, when they try and beat him up.
Yeah, they're just like,
And he kills like three of her trusted employees.
Yeah. So this is like...
No, they all come back.
No, of course they don't die, because it's a children's
like the Matrix.
Film. It's an actual children's
film.
The
amount of people she's brought up to the Sky Tower, and they've died immediately, and she's gone, oh, he wasn't the one.
Yeah, maybe I should change my audition process. What is she auditioning for? The plot is that she
to
wants
be strong
to
enough
kill,
to kill Master Blaster.
To kill Master Blaster, because she wants... But she just wants to separate the two men and make Master his own man.
To make Master a slave.
And then Master goes good. Master's a goodie?
Yeah,
so he gets in the car. He's sort of on board along with Pete.
They give him a very cute little bowler hat because he's a small person and he looks nice.
Oh yeah, the small person he suddenly dresses like as a gentleman.
He looks like one of the Time Bandits at the end.
That's right.
Yeah, not because he's a small person. The way he's dressed.
Can I tell you my small diminutive actor story?
Oh no!
It is. You have to be careful, don't you? Because he's just another human being, obviously. But that's worth saying.
I thought you were going to say you have to be careful because they get very angry.
Well, the sort of they classification, that's always very difficult, isn't it? But this gentleman was cast in a thing that I did because of his height.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was quite... That's the only
showbiz
common
is a common route for little people. And
right.
It's a tradition.
Yeah.
It is a tradition.
It is a tradition. Yeah. One that's less expressed nowadays, which might mean less work for small actors. I do not know.
Oh, it's a minefield.
Yeah, it really is. So I'm going to be careful. But I will say this. His CV was so astonishing.
Yeah.
It was Lord of the Rings. It was everything that you know from Little People. It was Lord of the Rings, all of them. It was Star Wars. It was it Willow? It was everything. He'd been around for a long time, this guy. He was an older guy. And so they just booked him. They never met him. They just said... Yeah. So, and it was in a kid's show. I think you might have written on...
Sorry, I've Got No Head.
No, it was called... Pixel Face, it was a spin-off.
Oh.
Did you write on that?
I didn't write on Pixel Face.
No, okay.
So one of my very first jobs in television was writing jokes for Will Andrews and other actors on Sorry I've Got No Head. I made you dress as a dung beetle.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Go way back.
Yeah.
I had to go to hospital because of that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Sorry, please tell me about this. I didn't know.
This is a side note, but you didn't write the one about the antlers, the deer thing. Deer
Not deer. Oh, God, I wish I wrote deer.
Well,
club.
I run through the woods deer wearing antlers amazing. And then the antler hit a branch and I got a neck injury. And then the next day I had to dress as a fucking dung beetle.
Yeah. You know when you write
which seemed to sort of separate my head from my shoulders and I ended up having to go to hospital.
I'm so sorry. And
it's
I got
fault.
Covered in cold sick as well because that was another thing. You know when you write a thing you kind of don't think it's ever going to actually get made?
Oh, and it did.
And, Marcus Brigstock told me you spent the day covered in cold sick.
Which is always
cold
fun.
Child sick from a sketch that I wrote
yeah,
for
nice.
Sorry I've Got No Head, a children's programme.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's still on YouTube probably.
So we did this thing, and it was this. He was playing somebody who I don't know what character. It was a mythological character, a small person, had a wheelbarrow of gold, and
oh god.
So he turned up, and he was great. He looks fantastic. It's lovely. We all said hello to him, and it was good. And there was something a little bit strange about him, but we weren't sure quite what it was. He was a bit quiet, didn't really say much. Anyway, he came in, and it turned out that no one had checked if he could talk. Now, his line was, it was a weird reference to something I'd cooked. I was an elf. And the line was something, I ate the poulet du lutin, which was some French dish that I'd cooked, all right? So I'd say, did you have something nice to eat then, my friend? And he went, boobity-boo-boo, like this. And, okay, so I was very hard. This is a professional man. This is a professional colleague who couldn't say poulet de lutin, but would just
say
poopity boo boo.
did you dab him later?
Oh, I mean, that happened. Everyone, I went white because obviously you can't laugh in the face of a colleague. Mm. And then suddenly doors started to go. You could just hear doors close because people were just abandoning set because it was so funny. It was so funny. And there's a shot of me doing it. And Dave Armand, who's dressed as a sort of rabbit thing, you just see him slowly turn his costume. So he's just facing the wall. And his shoulders are just going up and down like this. And take two. Let's try that again. Thanks very much. Boobity-boo-boo. It just kept happening. And then you just hear, wah-wah-wah-wah, as people left. And then the sound department just abandoned tools. Everyone was just in hysterics. It was, I mean, let's have a break. I think it was what the director said eventually.
And was he killed?
He wasn't killed. He was, however, dubbed.
Like by Justin Edwards.
Like a lot of the children in this film, though, were dubbed.
Were they?
Do you know the one you called a woman earlier?
Savannah. She's not a woman.
Savannah. She's got some very bad dubbing. It's like watching Heidi or something. You know, the sort of 80s version of Heidi with the bad dubbing. She's got some horrible dubbing going on.
She's the idealist out of the gang.
Yeah.
She believes in Tomorrow Morrowland.
She does.
When Max turns up, they think he's someone called Captain
Parker, is it?
Foster.
It's very generic man pilot name. Yeah.
And then there's a shot, isn't there supposed to be a stewardess that she doesn't come back?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I like that storytelling scene. I thought that was interesting.
The way she had like a wooden telly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
It was all good. And getting it all slightly confused and slightly wrong.
Yeah.
That's the future. We're always passing on our stories, getting them slightly wrong. Mm. And yeah, that was good.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is The One Show in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is for us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a programme you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I like the way they called it Pocky Clips as well.
Yeah.
For Apocalypse.
That was cute.
Captain
Pocky
Walker, they think
Captain
he is.
Walker. That's a very pilot name.
It is. I like to imagine that they arrived in a dystopian society that's been completely set up by stewards, airline stewards, where they'll be in the middle of telling the story and one of them will come around and try and sell him some perfume or coffee or small drinks.
There's someone in the tribe with a peanut allergy, so you won't be serving peanuts. And everyone goes, grumble, grumble.
Yeah.
I love it when that happens on a plane.
And then they have to say, just to remind you, when we finish today, don't all get up at once.
Yeah.
I like it when stewardesses say, do they say, fix your own mask before fixing your child's?
Yeah. Mm.
And I very much, that's my guide to parenting.
Yeah.
But instead of mask, it's lunch. I like the French lesson scene. You know when they had the sonic and then they played the record?
I like that.
That was cute. Bonjour. Yeah. That was very cute.
Yeah. I think all the kid actors in this are good.
Yeah.
No one's really shit.
But it was all very drama school, though. They're all very, Oliver, Lost Boys.
There's another horse drowning in quicksand, which is a big thing in the 80s,
It's not
it?
As disturbing as when Atreyu's horse dies.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was watching that, and obviously, yes, in Neverending Story, Artax, I think the horse is called.
Yeah. I watched that with my children a couple of weeks ago, and there were tears.
Yeah.
And
how are
that.
Your children?
they'd go upstairs on their iPads.
I watched that, and I was like, what the fuck was I thinking? I was traumatised with it, and now I'm making my child watch this. What have I done? Yeah. Why am I doing this?
It's a good film, Neverending
Story. We could watch Teen Titans Go to the Movies again.
Could.
Yeah, that's fine. In the 80s, people loved a horse drowning.
They loved that stuff.
Yeah. We discover that Blaster's got a weakness, by the way.
Yes.
Max discovers it because they're going to... When they find his caravan, which is a car.
Yeah.
Because obviously in the future, if you don't know this, the whole thing about Mad Max 2 is there's no oil.
Yes, right.
So in the future, no one's got any oil. So they have to find alternative sources of... pig shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so his car's covered in dynamite, and he says he's going to disarm it, but he presses a button. I guess he just assumes big people don't like noises.
Yeah.
He just puts on the arm, and Blaster starts going...
But I'm not actually entirely sure how he was led to do that.
No, he just presses the button.
Yeah. Then he has that little moment of, he doesn't like noises. Yeah. I'll use my navel whistle.
I'll use this, is it a navel whistle?
I don't know. I make that whistle when my dog comes in from the garden. I salute him and go... like that.
Whoa! You did that without putting your lips together.
You're one of those weird whistlers.
Put your lips together and blow, the traditional way of whistling. You did that with your throat.
I know, it's strange.
That's horrifying.
You people make me sick.
I know, I make myself sick. My son hates it too. This is my son whistling.
Yeah, my youngest.
He can't whistle.
But we got this gyrocopter dude who is heavily involved in Mad Max 2.
Right, I didn't
he's
know who
back
he was.
Now with
he
a child.
He was clearly important because there was like a crash thing on him.
Yeah,
he's very camp. He's got a lovely scarf. Yeah, is that his child?
Yeah, well, I assume so because he says dad at one point, doesn't he?
Well,
in the first one, in the second film, he's got no child.
Right,
and I don't see him with any women really.
Can we do a précis of the plot just very quickly?
Oh, you keep talking about this.
Man gets shot, goes to get camels back.
Yeah.
Leader of Barter Town says, you can have them back, but first you need to beat up a guy called Master Blaster who is run by a little person.
Yeah.
That then in the moments of killing it, he has a change of heart and realises he's been tricked somehow. What happened next?
Because he did.
Well, he won't kill a giant man with a child's head.
No. No.
Yeah.
So he's reneged on his deal.
He reneges. And then what does
he do? He has to face the wheel, and the wheel says you have to be excised. Yes. You have to be put on a horse facing backwards with a papier-mâché head of a smiley man.
Which reminded me of, do you remember you two had a period where they had big heads?
Yes. Yeah.
It was that kind of wobbly.
TFI used to use them long after the joke had passed, but he kept doing it because he was desperate for attention.
So backwards on a horse, dies of dehydration. Monkey runs out with a sore bum hole,
hands him some water. Yeah.
But only one bottle of water, which, by the way, Mr. Gibson, he didn't drink very carefully.
No, he got it gets everywhere, doesn't he?
Take sips, for God's sake, you're dying.
He then decides to wander off through the desert, and which then Savannah finds him, thinking he's Captain Walker.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And thus begins the rest of the plot.
Let me go to the little bit where there seems to be water.
So some children have gathered in a place where there's a plash crane and now think that the
plashed crane. That's very good.
Oh,
a plashed crane,
God,
yes.
Yeah.
And they build a mythology from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, no, that's not me. Totally isn't me.
Yeah.
Then they decide to go anyway.
I like the hat they gave him, though. They give him a captain's hat with a bird on it. All that and when stuff he flings great. It off, it flies away.
Yeah. I like that. But then it all got a bit weird. Then wind started, then a kite took off.
They think it's like a prophecy coming true.
Right.
And it's he's like, the winds. They think the wind is going to lift the plane and take it to the city because they found one of those, what's it called?
Viewfinders.
A viewfinder with some pictures of Sydney before the apocalypse or whatever they call it. Yeah. Adorable.
The polycrisps.
The polycrisps.
And then what happens? So then they say, we're going to go. And he says, no.
No, he says, you can't because that's barter town. You'll get killed.
He knocks her in the face.
Yeah.
And then they go anyway at night. Everyone, and he's like, oh, for God's sake, I totally told her not to go.
Yeah, the kids go with him, even though he was like, oh, don't come with me, the kids. And the kids will go with him anyway. And so he's like, for fuck's sake, I've got these kids now.
Exactly. To be fair, he doesn't say, don't come with me. They say, we're going to come with you. And he's just like, all right.
Whatever.
And then it's as much water as we can carry. Then they go off.
Oh, there's a really funny bit where he goes. So the bit at the beginning where they say you've got a hand in your guns, and he does a comical pile of guns from his body, which is a really stupid thing to do because they wouldn't expect him to have that many guns. He could have kept some of his guns back and then just shot.
And he brought his secret weapon, which is the camel flicker thing, which is actually a knife.
So he does a big pile of guns at the beginning, and then later on when the kids go. He says to the kids, I need all the water you can get. They do the same thing again, but with water, which is not that impressive, but it's quite, you know.
At least that monkey didn't wee in his mouth.
No. It's like one of those callback jokes that isn't funny, but references a joke that happened earlier. And you're like, that'll do.
Yeah.
That's what you get with two directors, I guess.
Yeah.
Visual a callback thing, and then they go and then there's some quicksand again.
Is there more quicksand?
Well, he tells the kids basically, don't go that way because there's quicksand and there's Barter Town, which are both deadly. Right. And they go anyway. And then he saves, one of them dies. But he saves the other one from the quicksand.
Yeah.
And then they go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then in the night, they go to Barter Town.
What? Through a convenient sewer hole. Yeah.
Because it's their only chance to get back home, he says.
Because they can't go back, they haven't got enough water.
Yeah.
That's right.
So they go to Barter Town and then they go and find Pig Killer.
And they go into the piggery.
Yeah.
And suddenly everyone's their friend. Like Pig Killer's on their team.
Pig Killer was helping Max when he briefly worked there.
Yeah. Blaster is. I mean, he's Master, isn't he? Master is his friend now. Yeah.
Well, because Master's their friend because they've rescued him because he was being dipped in pig shit endlessly.
Yeah. Yes. There's quite a Goonies-esque bit where they all come sliding in on the pig feeding slide. It's moments. Very Goonies. Yeah. And there's a brilliant bit.
Hook as well. Yeah. I know Hook's after this.
It's very Hook. Yes, it's very
Hook's
Hook.
After this, Spielberg, you cheating cunt.
Yeah. There's a, but then Goonies was Spielberg, right?
He produced it.
So, you know.
It's Richard Donner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Temple of Doom.
Don't write in. There's a really good bit when all the kids are hanging out with the pigs and Pig Killer and Blaster.
Blaster is R.I.P. with the angles now.
With the yes, he is. He's like Harambe. Yeah. Oh, hang on, this is going to be really tough.
We should all get our dicks out for Master. Blaster, not Master.
Hang on.
He's a tiny midget.
But there's a great bit when a guard comes running in and he's wearing two belts and some PVC pants like Jodie Marsh.
Yeah.
And all the kids just stare at him for a minute, and the guy stares at them, and I don't think anyone's acting. it's just everyone going, this isn't okay, is it? Yeah. We should have really thought this costume through.
Yeah. He's got a colander on his head.
He's the mechanic. He's the one who tried to fix the bombs earlier.
And then there was a Indiana Jones moment. So Mad Max runs out, there's a pause, and he runs back in. Loads of people are chasing him.
Mm. Yeah.
And then they get on the train car.
A train car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which drives off with a house on it.
Because it's an extension from Cars, isn't it? Like, there's Cars in the first film. Mm. So in the second film. So in the third film, there's a train which is better than a car. Which is probably easier to stop.
Which they did in the Back to the Future franchise. Yeah. They upped it to a train.
Yeah.
It's the next logical progression. At least in this one, the children don't point at their own penises. Have you seen that bit?
No.
You have to look this up. At the end of Back to the Future 3,
yeah.
I'm guessing because they were doing 2 and 3 back-to-back, they didn't notice.
Yeah.
But when Christopher Lloyd's going, Jules and Vern, and he's talking to Michael J. Fox, one of the children behind him beckons the camera and then points at his penis.
Wow.
It's put in YouTube, Jules and Vern, and it'll the first thing that comes up. It's amazing. He literally goes like that, and then he points at his knob. And it's in there forever. And I think that film's been put into the American Film Institute, where the National Archives. So there's a kid pointing at his dick in the National Archives.
Because they couldn't cut round it.
They can't cut round that. They must have just done it in one shot and then looked at it later and gone, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. It was before you could blur it out or make it into Jar Jar Binks or something.
I bet that kid got murdered. Spielberg sent someone out to murder him.
John Landis. Sorry, that's a nom.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
And then,
no, he has got a track record of murdering
that's
children.
That's what I'm saying. That was the unpleasant joke I just made.
It's horrible.
And then they get to the end of the thing, and there was a, what happened then?
Well, I'd like to ask why the
that's when the film starts.
The film just so the cars go from left to right, and the train goes from left to right, and that's really good. There's lots of dust, and there's they chasing.
They're going along the train track with a steering wheel.
Yeah.
Even though it's a train.
Yeah.
And there's a blockade there, and the gyrocopter kid's son is kid's son. The kid's there, and he says, "This is a stick up."
Yeah. He's flaming, got a very broad Australian accent.
You're flaming glass. And then he says, ah, shit, because he sees Tina Turner and everybody chasing him.
Yeah.
And he goes and gets in his secret lair.
Yeah.
And they follow him in.
Well, yeah, the lair's quite good. It's in the boot of a car.
Boot of a car that you climb down.
Yeah, it's like a speakeasy, like in Dalston.
But then when you go around the other side.
You knock on the door and they'd let you in. And you have to know a password and you get in there and then you can have like some absinthe or something. Yeah. It's really exciting if you're 18. Yeah.
when you go around the other side of their underground lair, it's just a normal building.
Yeah.
So if you just drove, because when later on Tina Turner and everybody drive around there, it's just a house.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So it seems a bit pointless. But anyway, so they say, right, we're going to get in your plane. Mm. And this is when they get in the plane and they can't take off because there's too much weight.
Yeah.
And then they can't take off because there's not enough runway.
That's right.
So this is when Max, being Max, sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
So they can all take off.
Yeah.
And then he gets.
And then they have this last bit where. Yeah. This little agricultural aircraft with everyone in it goes and looks at the old Sydney, and it's another superb opportunity for filmmaking models. I love models.
It is. Yeah. It's a bit series two of Red Dwarf, but it's models go.
Yes, yeah, it's like a ruined Sydney. There's the Opera House is half a brew, and yeah, it's quite good that bit.
Yeah.
And Tina Turner says to Max, "Ain't we a pair, Raggedy Man?"
Mm. And then just sort of goes away.
Which is good because it makes me think of the Raggedy Ass Man. Do you know the Raggedy Ass Man?
No.
There was in the World Cup last year, there was a photo of a man being held aloft.
Yeah.
And he was completely naked.
Yes.
With his anus exposed.
Yes, it's an odd picture.
He's been become known as the Raggedy Ass Man.
Oh.
So I keep thinking that Mel Gibson is the Raggedy Ass Man because he's a sex addict, so he wouldn't have any clothes on.
Yeah.
Mm.
And of course, the monkey.
Raggedy
ass
monkey.
But yeah, that's Savannah and everybody, they go to where the skyscrapers and everything are and they set up a new home there.
Mm. Yes,
it's a new cargo cult.
Yeah. And she does the tell about Max.
Yeah.
That's her new story.
The tell. That's
the tell.
Right. And so it turns into a religion again.
Which is what you have in poker, isn't it? Someone can know your tell because you tell an hour long story about a plane.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's exactly. In Casino Royale, he cries blood.
It does. And tells a story
about
Max.
One day we'll do that. DVD commentary.
We will.
My favourite James Bond film because it's so awful. Because he cries blood.
My overriding thing about this is, and I don't know if I'm right, but I've got this theory, and I in fact, I know I'm wrong, but I'm sticking to it.
Mm.
Certain cultural things only exist because hard people took them up and everyone's too scared to stop them from doing it.
Mm.
I would include in that. People who go on motorbikes, adult skateboarders.
I love this theory.
Mm.
I'm going to go further and say people who like football. I think that these cultural things are shored up by people who will smash your head in. And this is a film that's sort of about that. I mean, okay, I might be wrong, but this is such a camp film. It's one of the gayest movies I have ever seen. But it's populated with people who are like, you wouldn't have the courage to say I was gay. And I did. I don't know if I'm right. I'm going to accept I'm wrong.
You should watch Mad Max 2 because there is a very, very, very heavy gay subtext between one of the villains having a young blonde boy on the back of his bike who he cries when that young blonde boy is killed.
Right.
I think most 80s action films is they're just butch. They're so butch, you can't have a woman anywhere near them.
No, because it will make them all gay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A woman would make it more gay. I mean, Die Hard is, you know, two men falling in love with each other on walkie-talkies and brilliant for that. And then there's a woman in there somewhere.
It would be much better if they made love at the end to that sax music from this.
Let It Snow as they make love in the back of the limo.
That could be a metaphor for his semen.
It could be.
Or all the cocaine they took in the 80s.
Both.
Yeah.
Oh. What an ending that would be.
Yeah. It's a monkey jizzing cocaine.
That is essentially the 80s.
I don't need another hero.
Is Tina Turner, apart from the children, the only woman in this film?
Yes.
The one that he punched in the face.
Oh, hang on, there's a singing woman who wears a sort of... She looks a bit like Katy Perry.
Yes.
She sings before the Thunderdome, but doesn't seem to do very much.
That's it, yeah, that's like three.
She's got, wearing like a sort of Katy Perry
people. Obviously, there's more girls in the tribe than there are boys.
Yes.
So it's balanced that way.
Yeah.
And there were some women walking about with high-sided...
I mean, I'm not complaining. I don't think this is a hill to die on. Why is there not more female representation in Mad Max beyond if it makes the Thunderdome, as I keep calling
if it makes you feel better, you rabid feminist,
yeah.
The next Mad Max film is about a lady.
Yeah, I love Fury Road.
Isn't it good?
Fury Road's great.
You only see it on an airplane. So
yeah, I think I've
watched the first time I watched it was on a plane, though, because I wasn't expecting much. And I watched it on, the kind of cheap, shitty headphones they give you on a plane, because I didn't have my headphones with me. And the sound quality was so bad, I thought it was an artistic choice. I was like, oh, it's really interesting sound design on this.
Well, I saw it in IMAX.
Fancy.
Mad Max. No. They should have called it that, and they didn't.
No.
Fucking idiots.
No.
Do you think we've covered enough of Mad Max?
Yes, possibly, yeah.
Yeah, so should we have some quick-fire questions?
Watch the first one, not this one, would be my advice.
No, the second one.
Oh, watch the second one.
Really?
Okay. Second one's the best by miles.
Oh, we should say one thing, and it's the budget of the first one. It was 400,000 Australian dollars, and it took 100 million US. So you can imagine, if you make that film, which is the most profitable film in terms of the cost and what it made.
Yeah.
Well, that's what profit is. Yeah. But so you can see that no one's going to stop them doing anything when they made any more films. Like, get on with it.
I still think, I'm pretty sure two was still on a very tight budget. It's only three when you got real money.
And also, we should also say that the Mad Max franchise, and I didn't realise, is a big pillar of the emerging Australian film scene, which was slightly behind other parts of the world and went on to give us some of the best cinema, really, I think. So, yeah, it's important.
Is it a fitting tribute to Byron?
Yes, maybe.
I would say not, but...
Oh, poor Byron.
It's still... I still think it's a good film. It's not awful.
It's not awful.
I'm trying to think how many times I stopped and looked at my phone when I was watching it, which I really try not to do.
I think
it's funny if you're watching it on your phone.
I'd paid like $3.99 for the high definition on Amazon.
I sent you the link.
Yeah, but I'm not watching no link.
But it's a perfect HD copy.
But I thought I'd watch it on my telly.
Oh,
you know, my big nice telly.
Don't come crying to me about spending the money unless I sent you the link.
Was I crying?
You were tearing up.
I was tearing up like a monkey.
Right. I don't want to think about that monkey anymore. Could we stop talking about that monkey? Monkey's rabid arsehole. Right, I'm going to ask these questions in sequence, and Sarah, you're first next to me, so you're going to go first.
Oh, God, Will's got loads of paper and I don't.
All right, let me open just the thing on my phone. What have I got? No, I don't know.
Okay, hang on.
All right, so Sarah, who is the best, Arnie or Sly?
I don't care.
Okay, William?
Same question?
Yep.
I Arnie, probably. Yeah. Is that like the right answer?
Yeah, I like him in Twins. He's good in that. And Kindergarten Cop.
He's good in Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Is that the right answer?
Yes, yeah, great.
Fine.
What's the best action movie of all time?
Well,
I mean, on paper, obviously it's Die Hard because it's one of the best ones of all time. But my favourite is Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I liked The Fugitive. I still like The Fugitive. I think that's an amazing film. And then I was thinking about films that I actually watched at the time and were really moved by. And it was one called Stakeout and then another Stakeout.
Yeah.
And then
I like the first action, one, not the second one. So
they're kind of comedy.
Yeah, that's how they qualify as action.
But it was one of those ones where you still saw America and it just looked horrible. It's just horrible. Everything was just rainy and grey and vile. And I like that. That was good.
And Dreyfus, they've both got moustaches in the first film.
They do. Also, in another Stakeout, they go to Miami, I think. And they have two T-shirts which have got printed on as if you've got boobs and you're wearing a wet T-shirt.
Nice. Right.
And I have looked for those T-shirts my whole life.
That sounds like a Vivian Westwood design.
They're amazing.
They've also got dogs.
Did they have dogs?
Rosie O'Donnell's in the second one. She's got a dog.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm guessing they have sex with the dogs.
Yeah, probably.
Terrorists are taking over a skyscraper. This isn't news. You can take three celebrities with you to stop them. Sarah, who are you taking up the shard and why?
I just wrote Janelle Monáe, Natasha Lyon and Daniel Levy from Schitt's Creek.
Why?
Or anyone from Schitt's Creek, just because I like them. They're people I want to be friends with. And I'm not getting involved with the terrorist situation.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah, I wanted to bring Bridget Christie and Richard Iowa. I just think I've never seen them together and I like to be in the lift. Yeah. Oh, and Toby Young, so we could push him out first.
Oh, good one, yeah.
We could sit in the lift and they could handle him.
They'd spend all day on him, wouldn't they?
They would.
Just people I'd like to be friends with.
We should probably shouldn't say this because Toby's a big fan of this podcast.
Is he? Hi, Toby.
I've no idea.
Or is he?
Probably not now. Yeah. Not now. We've insulted monkeys and having sex with dogs, his favourite things. If you could go back in time and stop someone being born, who is it? And much like Desert Island Discs, I'm giving you Hitler.
Don't give me Hitler.
You don't have. I'll give you his ashes.
Whoever built the helicopter that killed Byron Kennedy.
Oh. Hey, you could just...
What? I just saved a man's life.
Well, you could have done that.
I may have stopped Thunderdome from being made. I think we can live with that.
I think Thunderdome would have
It wouldn't
have
had the same level of melancholy.
It wouldn't have the same poignancy.
The underpinning of sadness, yeah.
Do you remember Dr. Dre.
Yes.
I forgot about Dre.
Oh, you idiot.
Thank you.
He did a song called
Don't Leave Me Hanging.
California Lovin', whatever it's called.
California Lovin'?
California something. Yeah. California. The video is in a Thunderdome. Remember that? Everyone's dressed like Mad Max.
I still think people, that sort of white collar boxing thing that's so popular, I still think you could do Thunderdomes as a sort of Groupon stag offer, like a falconry experience. Thunderdome and then go for like mixology classes afterwards or a burlesque workshop if it's for hens.
I hope there's not a Byron Kennedy experience.
It's just courgette fries and death in a helicopter.
Sounds like a cocktail.
Touch of falconry as well though.
Oh my god.
Right, good. Who are you stopping being born?
I don't. I mean, Byron? Well, I just get it at the source.
What the fuck is wrong with you? He's dead.
Well, yeah,
so. He's got preventing you from being alive.
The boot in non-stop.
That helicopter pilot? Yeah. I don't know. That's too. See, that makes my head spin, because obviously if you stop one thing, you just cause another.
Not according to Avengers Endgame.
Oh.
What?
I haven't seen it.
All right. Well, in
Why
Avengers
would you
Endgame.
Do that?
What?
Why would you say a thing? I mean,
It's all right. I'm just joking. It doesn't happen.
What? The whole film.
The whole film doesn't exist.
Does it reset? Oh, God, a bit.
A hypothetical fist fight takes place between Rocky Balboa and John Matrix from The Commando. Who wins?
I actually just got off on a bit of a tangent about the new E.L. James book, the one when he did 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because I was thinking about silly names. Oh, like yeah. Maxim. John Matrix is a terrifically stupid name, but the person
for an Austrian
person in the protagonist of the new E.L. James 50 Shades Grey book is called Maxim Trevelyan, and is a man. And I think that is a perfect shit name.
Like that's if you were stolen, stolen from James Bond.
Is it
the baddie in Goldeneye is called Alec Trevelyan?
Oh my god, not Maxim though.
She's a piece of shit, isn't she? She just
writes
just
shit
on her
shit
fucking
name. That is so. Anyway, that person can win. Yeah.
Okay, and you.
I don't know.
You
what
both,
should I say?
You have both shamed this programme with your lack of answers. Oh,
the cocaine wanking monkey. Let's have a
look. All right. Okay. And finally, you could probably do a group think on this just to save time. If you had to make your own 80s action movie, what would it be about and who would be the lead?
I genuinely have enjoyed this question. I have an idea.
Please.
Do you want to know
pitch.
Your idea?
Hit me.
Do you hear
let's,
my pitch?
Let's pretend it's the 80s.
I was just...
I'll bang out a big rail and you just shout things at me.
I'll get a monkey. Yeah.
I did actually miss one detail, though, and it was 80s. So I just...
It doesn't matter.
I wrote an action movie in my head and I thought it would be called Don't Shoot the Messenger. Quite good. And it's about old gangster families that have become legit. Like, they've just become legit, but they do have a history. And it's about a guy that has to send messages to these two warring families. It's sort of a bit Ken Loach, probably set in Birmingham, and it would star Rasmus Hardik. Do you know him?
Yeah.
No. Rasmus, he was in...
Saxondale?
Saxondale.
And he's in Danger Mouse as Count Duckula.
He's got a lot of...
so I've written jokes for him.
There you go. Yeah. So that would be my idea. I had that little moment on the train. I thought that'd be quite nice.
That's nice.
So he just goes back and forth with bad news.
He does loads of voices now.
Yes.
He's in Thunderbirds as well.
He's in Thunderbirds. He did some Transformers stuff, I think, as well. I'm very jealous because I'd love to do lots of those ones.
You can do that with your Burger King pipes.
I could do. Burger King.
Say that again.
Burger King.
Say the other one is the butch thing.
100% British and Irish beef. What's the other one I do?
Pregnant now.
QuickBooks, backing you.
Are you QuickBooks?
I'm QuickBooks.
I enjoy your product.
Yeah. Like you.
I do a podcast.
You've got beautiful pipes.
Thanks. I don't like to talk about it.
Like the ghost.
I'd like the idea of beautiful pipes with him makeup on.
I've got a really good title for a film that I think is genuinely so good that I might make you take this out in case I decide to write a film based on it.
Okay.
I wanted to make a film called Fuck, Marry, Kill.
That's okay. Good.
Yeah.
It's a really good title, right? I don't know what the plot is, but we can all imagine.
Great. Fuck, Marry, Kill. Yeah.
You can just imagine what's going to happen. It's great, right?
Is it in that order?
What if...
Fuck, Marry, Kill?
What if it
was in the game?
Yeah, is it Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Yeah.
Kill, Marry, Fuck.
What if it's accidentally misspelled as Mary Kill and it's a pornography film?
It's a pornography snuff film.
Fuck, Mary, Kill.
Oh, as in Mary Kill is her name, not Fuck, Mary, comma, Kill.
Yeah, like Debbie Does
Stop.
Dallas.
Stop.
Debbie Does Dallas from
that's
the film
how,
Aliens.
That's not the porn titling... that's not how you title porn films these days, unfortunately. They don't have
how
pun.
Do you title
porn? Well, they don't have porn... Don't they don't have pun names. I got this off that John Ronson thing, excursions into Pornhub, which is killing the pornography industry.
Shaving Ryan's Privates was one
yes,
of my
favourite. Yes.
Well, I used to work in a video warehouse, and we had to send videos to army bases.
Yes.
And you'd... That's where you'd find the pun ones, like Driving Miss Daisy Crazy.
Right, okay.
Carlita's Back Way. Things like that. Lord of the G-Strings.
Oh, nice. My friend used
Playmate of the Apes. That's a good one. My friend gets fucked by monkeys.
We're back to monkey fucking.
My friend had a pub quiz called Blue or False, and it was just...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
it's good.
Really good.
Yeah.
That's
just lists really of things good. That he'd made up.
Can you give us one? Was that one of the titles?
I think that's as good a moment as any to end today's show. And it is a show. So, William, thank you very much for coming in.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Sarah, as always, thank you.
Thanks, John. Come back. Please have me back.
No, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.